Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 3. Good to see this good crowd back on a Sunday night. We'll not try to hold you long, but let's try to find something out of the Word of God that'll help us and go home with us. Amen. And I do appreciate this good number back on a Sunday night. Amen. In Revelation chapter number 3, let's start reading in verse number 7. Revelation 3 and verse number 7. There the Bible says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, and he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, hast not denied my name. Behold, I'll make them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come to worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, and to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together in your house. And God, I want to thank you this morning for giving us a great Lord's Day. I want to pray for all those that's on our prayer list tonight. God, many are hurting. So many, Lord, that seem to need a touch more than others. And you know the situations. And I just pray, Lord, and ask that you'd be real to them. Help me in the Word of God tonight. I pray you'd settle my mind down. And God, you'd help me to apply that which you've given me to the people tonight. Lord, I pray you'd go with us this week and use us to be a blessing. And I pray if there'd be one here tonight lost, as Brother Jason's already prayed. I pray that, God, that you would deal with their hearts this evening, and you would do things that only you, our great God, by the Holy Ghost can do. And we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Tonight, I'd love to look at another Bible door, and you'll find that it is an open door. An open door, and it is a door of discipleship. Now, our other doors, we'd seen the great shepherd. He said, I am the door. There's a door of direction. Aren't you glad that God left us a Bible to let us know how to get hooked in to the good shepherd tonight? Therefore, it is a door of great direction. Matter of fact, you'll never have nothing till you really have the peace of Christ that passes all understanding. I'm glad that He's the great shepherd and that He watches after the sheep, and He's left the 99 to go into the wilderness to save that which was lost. And then we seen Peter at a door in John 18, and we find that it was a door of great discovery. Boy, Peter found out who Satan was and found out who he was. Most of all, found out who the Savior was. And I can't explain to you enough to... It was a great day in my life when I was at a door and found out who I was. But I sure am glad to know who the Savior is tonight. And then this morning we had looked at over there where Peter was knocking at the door. And, well, it was a great door of decision. You may be here this evening and God's done answered your prayer and brought it to the door. Now, how are you going to respond to God's answer? But tonight, I want to look at this new Bible door as the open door, as the door of discipleship. Door of discipleship. I'm glad that in our Bible that it's still right this evening and it's still relevant in the day and hour that me and you live in. Matter of fact, I'd love to encourage you to get a hold to a good study Bible and one that would help you in some things and stay in it systematically studying the Word of God. But tonight, let's look in this Revelation 3, and I'd like to talk a little bit about the attractability of this open door. Now, there were seven churches that the Lord wrote to. And out of all these seven churches, this was the only church that the Lord didn't have some rebuke about. It was a great time in this church that to be a part of a church in Philadelphia. And there's anyone that I'd want to hook into tonight out of the seven, it would be the church of Philadelphia. For the Lord had no rebuke for them, but it seemed that the Lord brought something to this church that the other churches never did get to experience. And that was a open door. Now, I want to show you something by way of outline tonight on this attractability of this open door. Now, notice that we don't go to the door, but the door comes to us. People, a lot of times, are trying to find a door that it would open, that they may go through, that it might bring them advantage, or it may bring them new direction in their life. But I want you to notice some things that this church had in place, and God brought the door to them. And I don't know about you, but I sure do love it when God opens a door for me and it's a right door. And there I can experience the presence and the blessings of God. And I think people's got things backwards in trying to get through an open door, not finding an open door, but doing what the Bible says that this door may come to them. Now, notice what this church was doing. First of all, they were situated at the house of God. In verse number 8, he said, "Now I want you to know, I know your works." And I don't take it lightly that there are many back on Sunday night, because I know it takes work to get back to the house of God. I'm reminded as you raise children, you've got a lot of things to take care of this evening, and even when you get out of church, things to do. And that's why I don't want an old, boring, dead church. I don't want to go through formality. I want you to get something while you're here every service, and something for your children. But Jesus said this, "I know your works." Now, I want you to understand this. You'll find that this early church, they were situated at the house of God. God knows what we're doing. And God knows where we are tonight. And this church was situated at the house of God. Secondly, I want to say they were saturated with the Word of God. He said in verse number 8, he said, "I know your works, and I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word." Oh my, how we need to be saturated with the Word of God. I wish that we knew as much about our Bible as we did our remote control. Amen. And if we would spend more time in our Bible, it would help us in the workings of God in our life from day to day. Now, this church, not only were they dedicated at the house of God, and not only were they saturated with the Word of God, I want to stop right there just a minute. I'm glad we got a church that's still preaching the Bible. Not just preaching a man's opinion, but if you just preach the Bible, you got nothing to apologize for. And then if you got something to take up with the sermon, take it up with God. Just stay in the Bible and preach the Bible. And so I sure am glad that we can be saturated with the Word of God. Now, and then not only were they situated at the house of God, not only were they saturated with the Word of God, I want to say thirdly, in verse number 8, they were dedicated to the Son of God. Now, look what the Bible said in verse number 8. He said, I want you to know, you've not denied my name. Isn't it amazing that America nationally don't have a problem talking about God? You hear a lot of them boys on the stage talking about God. Why, you'll hear a few talking about around in our court system about God. But when you say Jesus Christ, you become politically incorrect. But I'm glad the Bible is correct. I'm glad I'm not in politics tonight. I'm glad I'm in the preaching business. And so therefore, they had not denied His name. Can I tell you, there's no name like His name? For there's no other name given unto men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And there's nobody like Him. And I love Him tonight, and I'm glad that I don't have to apologize about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you bring up the name Lord Jesus Christ, you're making a dogmatic statement that you believe that Jesus is what the Bible said He was. There's one way to glory tonight. That is by the way of God's darling Son who hung on an old rugged cross and died and shed His blood for me and you, for my children and your children. And so therefore, they were mighty dedicated to the Son of God. That ought to be our total concept. That ought to be everything when we come to Liberty Baptist Church. It is about the Son of God. And then fourthly, I want you to notice how they attracted this door. No other church attracted this door. Why did God bring this open door, this great door of opportunity to this New Testament church like no other church had the opportunity? I believe I know why in our Bible, because they were situated at the house of God. They were saturated with the Word of God. They were dedicated to the Son of God. But some of you that are older 50, you can relate to this in verse number 8. He said, thou hast a little strength. They were activated by the Spirit of God. I'm glad the Spirit of God, I'm glad that He's amongst us tonight. I'm glad it's still right to preach with the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, it scared me to death to think that I couldn't preach with the Spirit of God. It's still right to sing with the Spirit of God. And you'll notice this, God uses people that just has a little strength left. He said, now, I realize you don't have a lot of money and you hadn't got a lot of clout and you hadn't got a big name in town, but you've got a little strength. I'm glad God can do big things with little things. All through our Bible, you'll notice it didn't take big things to get God's attention. But God has given us the Spirit of the Lord. And therefore, it gives us a great unction to preach and an unction to pray. Oh, I wish we'd get back to praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Get back to singing in the Holy Ghost. And I sure am glad that they had the Spirit of God in their... Where would we be if we didn't have the Spirit of God in our church? Oh, we need Him. The Bible teaches us that we can grieve the Spirit of God. Oh, we can certainly quench the Spirit of God. We can laugh to the Spirit of God. Liberty Baptist Church, as there's ever been in a day and hour, well, we need the Holy Ghost to help us in Holy Ghost power. It is in 2016, where God will save your children and your grandchildren, where God can restore your homes and where God can do something for us individually. Oh my, this church knew something about a little strength, about the Spirit of God. Not only were they activated by the Spirit of God, but I want to say in verse number 10, He said, now you've kept the word of my patience. He said simply that they were infatuated by the will of God. You know, we need the will of God for our ministry. A lot of people say, well, I want to go find the will of God, but the Bible teaches to do the will of God. I could tell everybody in the building tonight how we ought to be infatuated with the will of God. Bible never teaches us about finding the will, but it's always put to doing the will of God. It's the will of God that everybody would be saved. It's the will of God that we would be Spirit-filled. It's the will of God that we'd be sanctified. Some of you are finding out that it is the will of God that times we would suffer. And that it is the will of God always that we would say thank you. And what this church was doing, Liberty, just listen to me a few minutes tonight. I know we've had a lot of preaching this morning, but just listen to your preacher a minute. The reason God presented this open door to this church is because they had applied themselves and God brought that door to them. The same way it is in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these things shall be added unto you. If we would get our first priority on serving our God and doing His will, there would be doors that would open unto us. There was a young preacher taught with me this week and he said, Brother Ken, I want to be sure that I know the will of God. I said, son, the Bible teaches about doing the will of God. And when you're doing the will of God, people, remember that God's so big, it's hard to miss Him. And when you just minding Him and you're spirit filled and you're reading your Bible and you've got a sanctification going on in your life with Jesus, God will be sure that you're doing His will. And doors will begin to open in your life and in a church's life. I want to say tonight on this thing of this church with an open door, you'll find out, first of all, there was an attractability of an open door. Boy, I'm glad God has brought open doors to our ministry here. Look how many open doors God has opened here in ministering and in missions. Look how many doors God has opened in your life that you may walk through and be a blessing to other people. Look how many doors that God's opened in your life in order that you may feed your family and be a blessing to other people. I'm glad I know the God that opens doors tonight. Somebody said, heaven's closed. No, it ain't. Heaven's open tonight. I sure am glad that Jesus still opens heaven this evening. John was baptizing Jesus down in the Jordan River. He took Him down and the dove descended and lit upon Jesus, not on John. There was a cloud parted back and said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I'm glad Jesus still opens heaven tonight. And if you've never been saved, you can't talk to heaven. But if you'll trust Jesus to be your Savior, then you can get into heaven's plan tonight and enjoy the goodness of the openings of heaven. Church, I want you to think about how many doors that God has opened in your life. How many doors God's opened in my life. How many doors God has opened for the church. But you see the attractability of this church. And I want to reiterate, this church was situated at the house of God. Get faithful. They were saturated with the Word of God. Read your Bible. They were dedicated to the Son of God. They didn't deny His name. They were activated by the Spirit of God. We've got to have Him. And they were infatuated by the will of God. And as they were doing these things, God brought this door in their ministry and opened the door. Many men, as you study this passage, to say that this is where missions developed across the country. Out of this church where God had opened a door. I think now, I know we're over 50 missionaries. I know that Brother Matt and Sister Amanda and the ministry that they head up in Macedonia, I think we're 46 or 47 missionaries and two starter churches. And I think we've got about 8 missionaries in-house that we support every month. God has opened so many doors for missions in this church. And I'm thankful for that. Number two, not only the attractability of the door. And I want to say something, Christian. If you are doing what the Bible said they were doing, it won't be long you will experience a door open in your life that God will take you places that you've never been before. Now, number two, the tractability of the open door, but secondly, there must be an availability of an open door. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16 and let's look at what Paul says. This same scripture comes up in the apostle's life. And I'd like to ask you tonight, do you need an open door? Do you need God to open a door up in your life? I want to say that doors don't stay open forever. That's why we have to be so careful in the church as God opens a door that we go through it with a great commission of how God wants us to react to His acting in our life. As God opens a door, we must have the availability to go through that door. You've got to make yourself available for God to use you. And I'm going to tell you the reason the average church is not being used of God. They've not made themselves available. It's too much politics. Too many conferences got to go through. Too many people got to be happy before God can do what He's wanting to do. And so tonight I want to say that in this open door that we must be sure that we have availability with God. Not only attractability, but availability. Are we available? Church is, let me ask you, so I've heard this say, well, Brother Ken, you done been here 20 years, God's done so much, God's got to be about done. God just now getting started good. We just now got a foundation and a ministry that we can springboard off to, that we can be really effective in our community and in the world in which we live. Oh my goodness, notice what he says now. It's an amazing statement found over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 9. Paul says this, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Now you that are wanting to do something for God, I'm going to tell you something. God will bring doors in your life that will open up. But I like what one old feller had to say. He said, the door to the room of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. I want to say it again. The door to the room of opportunity always swings on the hinges of opposition. Paul said this, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Many things that's going against me when I start going through the door that God has opened. I want to remind you now, just because God's opened a door, it's not always going to be easy. So we must realize that there, with great opportunities, also comes great opposition. Now, notice this. In verse number 9, first of all, we've got to be available. Are you available for God to use you? I'm not necessarily talking about you quitting your job and going on blind faith to do something. I'm just asking you, are you available for an opportunity? I want to be sure that our church always stays available for what God has got for her. And so, you'll notice Paul was available. Then in verse 10, you'll notice this through 12, he talks about not only must you be available, but in order for God to use you and go through doors, then you must be agreeable. Now, some things didn't work out the way Paul thought it. He said, if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh for the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, look what he said, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But He will come when He shall have a convenient time. So we must realize that our plan don't work when we get through the door. We must not only be available, but we must be agreeable and realize God knows what He's doing. I'd ask you, have you ever been through an open door and things didn't turn out the way you thought? You must find out that we must be agreeable with the Spirit of God. God knows what we need. Then thirdly, Paul's writing and he says this. He said in verse 13 through 15, he said, you must always be advisable. You must be able to listen to different opinions and different views. He said, watch you and stand fast in faith. Quit you young like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity or in love. He said, I beseech you, brethren, that ye may know the house of Stephanus, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Oh my, we must realize that with great counselors, there's wisdom. And there's nothing wrong with getting people's views and people's helps to help you through this open door. But then, fourthly, you'll find out that verse 16 through 24, that it'll help you to be amiable. What are you talking about? Loving kind and considerate, verse 16, that you submit yourselves to such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. He said, I'm glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fornatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they supplied. For they've refreshed my spirit and yours. I love getting around people that refresh my spirit. I want to be around people that's a faucet and not a drain. Amen. People that can contribute. And people that not take everything out of you when you see them. He said, I want you to know, he said, you must be amiable. He said, they've refreshed my spirit and yours. And the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila, Priscilla, salute you much in the Lord with the church that's in their house. All the brethren greet you one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathemaritha. In other words, he said, don't give them no time. He said, if a man come in as an antichrist, don't even give him Godspeed. Paul was a Jesus preacher. And therefore, this thing of open doors, I'd like to ask you tonight, do you have a tractability? It's not of going out and searching for doors, but it's living for God and allowing these doors to come to us. Do you understand that tonight? Oh, how I wish God would open so many doors for Liberty Baptist Church and use people for His honor and His glory. There was a man here in a service not long ago, and he commended of how the people will come and see about him, and people befriended him and was friendly to him. It ought to be on our priority list every service. We see a new face in our church, go and welcome them, see about them, introduce yourself to them. A little handshake, a little smile will go a long way. Amen? And so Paul says you must be agreeable, you must be available, and you must be amiable. But thirdly, this thing of the open door of the Philadelphia church, not only do we find that it had attractability and availability, but I've noticed this going through open doors, you must have adaptability. A lot of times we're just stuck in the mud and we can't change for nothing. And that's why God will not let us see the things that we could through the open doors. Adaptability. We've got to learn to adapt, but stay with the Bible. We've got to learn to adapt, but stay with our core values. We've got to learn to adapt, but yet still have standards about our life and our church. Now, in Acts 20 and verse number 17, Acts 20 and verse number 17, notice here about this adaptability. The Bible said, and from Miletus, he's on a missionary journey, God has opened the door for Paul. And he called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said to them, You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. I want to say something right there to our church tonight. Churches and individuals, we all have seasons in our life. We have a winter, a spring, a summer, and a fall. And Paul said, I want you to know I've been with you through all of them seasons. I've seen times at our church and it seemed like nearly every service somebody would get saved. I've seen times in our church services that it would be dry. I've seen times at our church when it's like this morning, you just preach on roller skates. And so it's seasons, but we've got to realize He is the God of all seasons. You may be going through a dry time in your life right now. God's opened a door for you, and it seems like you're not seeing anything happen. God's in charge of the seasons. We must be faithful in doing what God has called us to do with the open door ministry. Now, this thing of adaptability, we have to be able to do it God's way. This is where people shake their heads sometimes. You mean God did that with him? God did that with her? Isn't that amazing? God chose to use Simon Peter, one that denied him on the day of Pentecost, got up, preached, and 3,000 got saved. I'll promise you this, the independent, fundamental, separate Baptist preacher would not have called on Simon Peter. As a matter of fact, he'd got up a cussing and a cutting and denying the Lord. I don't know if I'd had him preach on Sunday morning either. Help me, shake your little Baptist head up and down tonight. But God uses things that sometimes people shake their head at. And we got to realize that it's God's way. God's got a plan and we got to do it His way, not our way. A lot of times people planogram God plumb out of their service. We're going to sing this and this and gets to sing. You ever notice sometimes Brother David would lie and some of y'all up to sing and all of a sudden the Spirit of God would change? We got to follow the Lord. We got to be agreeable with the Holy Ghost. And therefore, we're not there to hurt nobody's feelings. You just got to understand, in a Holy Ghost ministry, we've got to go God's way. There's been a lot of times I come in, Sunday before last, I was so ready to preach, God didn't even let me preach. That's His business. I just got to be available and agreeable. I got to be able to say, Lord, it's what You want today at Liberty Baptist Church. Guess what? When I get up in the morning, I got to say, Lord, this is Your day. And I've got to do what You want me to do today. And how You want me to do it. A lot of times we're so stuck in the mud on tradition. We say, well, God don't do it that way. Honey, God, as long as it lines up in this Bible, He'll do it His way. And so don't ever think you got God figured out. I'm going to tell you, the older I've gotten the Lord, the more I realize what I don't know. God's amazing God. I mean, He's an amazing God, how God does things. And then there's the season of adaptability. Verse 19, there's struggles of adaptability. Paul is writing there in Acts 20, and he said simply, over in verse number 19, he said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. I wish ministry was easy, but sometimes it's a struggle. I wish that when you go through open doors in your life, that it would be so easy, but sometimes it's a struggle. And then you'll notice in this adaptability, not only the seasons of adaptability and the struggles of adaptability, but look at the surrender of adaptability. In verse 22, he said, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. You know something? When you're going through open doors that God's open, you never know what you're going to experience. But this is what we've got to understand. We've got to mind the Lord and go in the direction of the Spirit of God. Paul said the Holy Ghost had him bound. That's a good place to be tied up to, is the Holy Ghost. And then you'll notice this, lastly, in this phrase, verse 23. Not only should there be surrender in our adaptability, but our steadfastness in our adaptability. Look in verse 23. Steadfastness. Now verse 20 says this, "Say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." But now look what he says. "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Therefore, we must be steadfast in our adaptability. But then lastly, I'm going to deal with this. I'll be done tonight. This open door, it came because of a attractability. They were doing things that God would send their way. You know why? God knew that they would go through the door that He sent it. Attractability, availability, adaptability, but lastly, achievability. I'm not seeing much happen. I tell you, a lot of times in the ministry God's put me in here, I sure am glad I'm not going on scorekeeping to stay in the ministry. Achievements is God's business. We're going to see people get saved here. We're going to see some older people get saved, some younger people get saved, but it's going to be when the Spirit of God deals with our heart in that way. And therefore, this achievement, don't get discouraged, teachers, if they're not patting you on the back about your teaching in the open door. Don't get discouraged, folks, that God's opened the door and you just don't see any results much. I think a lot of times that the devil tells us just because we don't see the ball knocked out of the park that we're not doing something. Let me tell you something. There's a lot going into children many times that you don't even know what God is doing. There was a lady that said something last week about a message that was preached here nearly a year ago. I don't even know what to preach, but said God used it to redirect their whole life. You never know with the door that God's opened for you of how you're impacting and how you're being a blessing to other people. I could go on and on about the type of varieties of doors, but I want to say God's got a door open for everybody that's in this church tonight that's in the Word of God to be a blessing to somebody else. I want to be a blessing. I want our church to be effective. I want it to be a blessing. I want it to be mission-minded. I want it to preach the Bible and be very interested in preaching the Word of God. Oh my, the achievements. Lastly, look what Paul says. He gives us three things as we go through open doors to watch in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I want you to look what he says in verse 1. He said, first of all, I want you, you've got to learn this. Faint not. I can remember many times when I've got tired and my body just didn't want to cooperate. And then, Brother Lee, this was a real issue that I never had experienced. At times when my spirit didn't want to cooperate. Discouraged. And people say, well, Brother Ken, just get over it. That's easy to say. But preachers, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times you got to preach your way through it. Teachers, you got to teach your way through it. Mom and Daddy, you just got to parent your way through it. Husband and wife, you just got to go through it. Faint not. Don't give up. God's going to do something. Faint not. He said, therefore, seeing we have received mercy, that we faint not. But we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3 said, if our gospel be hid, it's to hid to them that are lost. Whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God should shine on them. And for we preach not ourselves. Number 2. Not only faint not, but preach not. It better not be about me, and it better not be about you. He said, I want you to know when we went through these doors, God's open, we preach not ourselves in verse 5, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Boy, it's not about us, is it? But let's make it all about Him. You know why I've never, and you'll have to, some of you probably roll your eyes, but maybe they won't lock on you. The reason we don't sing happy birthday and happy anniversary, we may forget somebody and somebody get their feelings hurt. This thing ain't about me and you. It ought to be a place that we could be encouraged, and it's great to appreciate people. It goes a long way, but this thing ain't about individuals. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's got to be our banner that's flew over this ministry every day that the sun comes up and every time the moon comes out. It's all about Jesus. Faint not. Preach not. And then lastly, this is what Paul said. He said, look not. Verse 15, when you're going through the door of ministry for all things and for your sakes, in verse 15, that's amazing. There's some things that happened in my life I wouldn't have picked out for me. Would you have picked them out for you? For all things and for your sakes, that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, here it is, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Look not. Don't look around. Keep a tally board. It'll look like you're losing many times. But God knows what He's doing. And I'm thankful tonight for that thing of an open door. I remember one time I was preaching for Brother Brian Bridges in Hartsville, Alabama at Sunrise Baptist Church. And I'll never forget, Brother Tim, there was a young girl there and she had a Raggedy Ann doll. She had a little coloring book. And I noticed when I got up to preach, I looked straight out at her and she sort of looked up at me and she started back down coloring. Just doing what little old girls do, color. I preached that night, didn't see nobody move, nobody got saved. And that preacher, and when they got home from church, that little girl went home. There's a sermon that I preach on when Jesus cleans out the temple. She went home, told her mom and daddy, she said, Mom and daddy, God has spoke to my heart tonight about cleaning up my temple and I want to be saved. That preacher told me about cleaning out that temple and I'm going to die and go to hell if Jesus don't save me and I want to be saved. And that young'un got saved that night after meeting. See, the devil didn't show me that at imitation. Look not. Don't be discouraged. Just stay with the stuff. Just keep doing what the Bible says do. Be attentive to preaching. Be attentive to the door that God's opened for you and God will bless you with what you're doing. Keep Him number one. Keep focused on Him, not on the results. God's still in the door opening business. I appreciate you being here tonight. I sure am glad God's opened many doors for us. I want us to stay available, church. I want us to stay bendable. Let God use us how He wants to use us to be a blessing. You ever notice families that all of a sudden just show up here, the turmoil that they go through? They need a church. They need somebody to befriend them and minister to them and pray for them. Oh, how we need to get interested in the doors that God's opened for us. Appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with us. Remember our midweek prayer service this week. We'll be here at 7:30. We've got structured classes for all the children. Hope you'll be mindful of that. And then we'll be here next Sunday morning, ready for the Lord to meet with us. You pray. Invite somebody to come to church with you this week. Find somebody. You may be surprised who'd come to church with you if you'd asked them. And